Okay, in the second part of this talk, I want to talk about this handbook. A lot of work went into this handbook, not on the basis of how many hours it took to write it, but a couple of years of trying to communicate these techniques. Now, that's what's important. Your self-analysis is a pilot project. Self-analysis does not come to an end because this handbook comes out. You can take a case that is pretty neurotic, and you try to stuff this handbook at them. It's pretty bad. But if you can coax this case to use some self-analysis for a little while before you give them this handbook, you'll find they'll come far enough up the tone scale to work. Because self-analysis is an effort to connect the person with the material universe, and that's what it is. You can read through self-analysis, and you won't find anything else but an effort to get the person reconnected with the material universe. And as a result, this book would be too heavy for them, just hand it to some individual. But this book will serve you above that level. Now, when I'm talking about a low tone pre-clear, I really mean low tones. Maybe 0.8 that isn't spun in. No volume on the 0.8. But behaves pretty much along the 0.8 pattern. Now, you take that individual, and you find out that individual can't quite click with some of these things, and so forth. Now, it either means that you stand there and audit them, monkey around, fool around, do this and that, and so forth. First four steps of the 15 acts, first four acts. Or, shove self-analysis at them. Let them work self-analysis for a while. You don't care how thoroughly they work it, one way or the other. It'll do some interesting things for a case. Sort of gives them an orientation. As a matter of fact, it'll take the major apprehension off the case. It just sort of takes charge off the whole line. You're not asking the person to tackle any of his postulates. You're not asking him to tackle anything. Something else interesting about old self-analysis is the fact that you, as the auditor, can sit there and you've got almost an endless chain of postulate processing. Just put each of its phrases recouched into a postulate. Can you recall a time when, and then make the next line into a postulate? You recall a time when you decided, when you concluded, when you evaluated, and ask them that. And it turns in your hands. You can freely translate it then into postulate processing as a book, because it does not head at postulate processing. It is just a reorientation with the messed universe. Well, that's quite different with this book. This book, in its present state, is made to be handled by an auditor-supervised pre-clear. It's your knowledge which backs up this book. The uncertainty which your pre-clear will feel at being turned adrift suddenly with something like this in his hand is overcome by the fact that you are interested. Now, let's say that you have a pre-clear who is well up the tone scale, very well up the tone scale. 1.6. And you give him this book, and you say, well, you process it on out from here. The fellow's got some bad arthritis and so forth. And you say, well, just follow this book out. This fellow's aberration is stopping motion. And you're going to have a little trouble with this case, one way or the other. If you have too much trouble with this case, take this book away from him, give him self-analysis. Say, you work that for 2 weeks. And then everything will get a little bit better for you, and then we give you this book. You can do that. Or you can just take this book and you can give him a little indoctrination. Don't bother to argue with him. Well, if you don't accept that, that's all right. That's okay. Possibly you prefer something else. But this happens to work fairly well, and talk to him kind of quietly and follow the first four steps of the 15 acts. Then when you've got them up to a point a little bit, when you've got them up the line a little bit, when you have them squared around, and when all of a sudden Dionysus has a little reality to them, and by the way, there's nothing like turning on A good, strong somatic to give people an idea of reality. The best method I know of turning on a strong somatic with a 1.5 or a 1.6 or 7 up in that bracket, an arthritic, is get them to get the feel of the atmosphere. Say that's a knee. I get them to get the feel of the atmosphere on that knee. Various atmospheres, various counter emotions is what you're asking them to feel. Until you find some sympathy or some anger or something of the sort on that somatic. And that somatic will turn on. It's counter emotion. It's very interesting stuff. Because it sort of seizes up somebody else's facsimile, you see. Counter emotion comes in, seizes up this particular engram. It's held there by the individual, but it's apparently seized up by somebody else's emotion. So, that's a very nice method. In other words, you get a low-tone case, you've got this book. You don't give them this book. Low-tone case, you don't give them the book. You can give them self-analysis. They don't carry through a self-analysis. You give them four acts. Yourself, one way or the other. Build them up just a little bit. Show them there's some reality to it. And then give them the book. In other words, you can give them this book at any stage that they're ready for the book. And you will have some pre-clears who will be ready to handle the book immediately. So you just give them the book. And then you call them. You talk to them. Every once in a while. You keep expressing interest in their case. You keep pushing them along. You can even take this book and give assignments in it if you want to. Take a blue pencil and go over it with them and sit there and say, well, you go from this page to this, and I'll see you Wednesday, and you go from this page to this, and so on. Any trick you want to pull in order to get a person rolling on it. Now, you'll find occasionally somebody will pick up this book, and it'll be too hot to handle what they run into. They'll start running into people who enforced agreement upon you. That light. And they'll all of a sudden say, yipe! I don't want to go any further. You call them up on Wednesday and say, how far have you gotten with this book? Well, I didn't get very far. I was busy. I had to go to the store. Reginald got sick. Something happened. And you go over and you take a look at the book. Go and call. I'm starting again. Find what they wrote in it. They're hung up someplace. Now, getting them started is the most interesting manifestation of the book. Because you get them started, they'll roll. Because it'll get interesting to them. This book is much more interesting to follow than self-analysis as far as its process is concerned, as I think you've already discovered. Now, the book then should be presented, and you can make this rather a rule, to the pre-clear at the time the pre-clear is ready to pursue his case in the light of the book. Your role as an auditor is to judge when he is and to bring him up to a point when he will be. You might be able to do that in 10 minutes, and you might be able to do that in 5 hours. Because remember the length of time that it takes to bring an individual out of an inaccessible state into an accessible state is not included in any time estimates on this book. Any time estimates so far used on this book include only accessible cases. So sometimes you may have to spend 2 or 3 weeks fooling around with somebody to bring them out of a psycho state the way things are now. You might have to do that. Be regrettable if you did, but you could be prepared to do so. Now, this book can be used actually with you just sitting there reading it, answering the questions directly out of it and filling it in. And if you're auditing a blind man, that's what you'll be doing. Up to the moment when you're satisfied that he's going to roll all right, and then you give it to his wife or somebody else, and you get them to read the questions to him, making sure there's no emotional conflict in that auditor pre-clear group, making sure that the person who's reading this book to the person and getting the questions and letting them go through these things, making very, very sure that this individual won't take any liberties with it and will call you if anything goes wrong. This is an effort to take the load off of your shoulders, not an effort to put a load on the pre-clear. All right. It says right here in the front that there are several ways of handling this. Four ways. As a workbook to be used wholly by the auditor on the pre-clear, in which time you actually would just sit there and all you'd have to do is go through these steps. Ask the questions when they're asked. Explain things when the pre-clear doesn't understand them. Ask him to scan. List these people all the way through. Ask him to scan where he's supposed to be scanning, and so forth. Just that. It's just a complete book of auditing, that's all. You, as an auditor, with experience and so forth, might suddenly see that this case is ready to run something in advance of what he's running, because this is for an average case. Well, make sure that your judgment isn't too up to a point where you're going to dive a 0-5 into a grief charge, because 0-5 being grief will not erase against a person who is in grief. It requires a different point on the tone scale to get an erasure. You understand that? Or get a relief or a release. You might all of a sudden find this individual way up ahead of you. Way up here someplace. All of a sudden you've gotten the computation on his case and his case is just running like wildfire, and you start to ask him to scan the various buttons, and you just grab a hold of the chart real quick and you just get him scanning buttons on various dynamics, and all of a sudden he hits the central computation on the case of who he's being the life continuum for, and you all of a sudden run the sympathy off of that, and this guy's off to the races. You can expect a case to do that, so you should use judgment in connection with this. It might even be a benefit occasionally to run an engram. The guy's sitting in one. Well, he seems to want to run one. And there it is. Run it. You see? But you wouldn't charge him into something heavy. This book will lead him into all the heavy charges you want. Now, there's a section in this book that tells him how to run his own grief charges. You run into that? That's an interesting one. You're liable to find your pre-clear fouled up like fire drill on it. All you've got to do, however, is just probe around with enough regret and blame until all of a sudden, and life continuum, until all of a sudden the charge blows anyhow. He's liable to bog on these grief charges. People run away from grief. They run away from fear charges, particularly from fear charges they run away. So you've got to watch the person. But you, as an auditor, using this book, should also be perfectly competent to use your own judgment with regard to its processes. Because this book is designed to keep individuals from getting into trouble, the pre-clear from getting into trouble, and it's designed to set up in such a way that it fits more or less the average case. All right, your next point on the process here would be as a homework book to be given the pre-clear for use between sessions. All right, you just go into your advanced procedure. And you're giving this pre-clear a 36-hour intensive. And the pre-clear gets a 36-hour intensive, and maybe you aren't giving it as an intensive for a week. Maybe this pre-clear is getting it maybe at the rate of 4 or 5 hours a week, something like that. Space it a little bit. Give them the workbook between sessions. Just tell them it's a workbook. And say, well, when you come back for your next session, have this thing finished up to such and such point. And they'll say, fine. You can just run, regardless of where the pre-clear is in this book, you can just go right on along with advanced procedures. It is in that book, Advanced Procedure. Now, this would really produce some fast processing if you were doing a double on it. But this person isn't getting a 36-hour intensive. If you're giving him 36 hours of auditing, for God's sakes, and he's got this book, too, and he's doing this book, gee, I don't know where he'd land. Well, if you audit him wrong, the book will also unbog him. Anyway, we'll go on. All right, the third method to use is the one that I really started out to describe. You get the fellow to a point where you think it's safe to turn him loose. And that might be in 10 minutes or it might be in 10 hours. At the end of this time, you give him this workbook. You keep checking with him then by phone or even a house call, something like that, to make sure he's going on along the line with his workbook. And where's he getting to? And when you get over here to Act 10, it says service facsimile. But what that really means is, for your benefit, that really means where you take a hand as an auditor, make sure his case is fairly straight. And that he's missed nothing. And do some of the auditing otherwise. Because you may find he's already blown his service facsimile. You also may find he's accumulated 12 more. And the last, as a processing man, you used wholly by the pre-clear without an auditor. Well, this would take a pretty intelligent guy. It would take somebody who was fairly savvy on the subject of Dianetics. You give him the book, rolls the book, and he can push himself through. This has the particular benefit of taking care of an isolated auditor. And it also breaks down the old problem of altitude as far as the auditor is concerned. Because an auditor gets back in an area and there's only two auditors in the area. And they audit each other? Oh, no, they won't. They'll go audit themselves a flock of pre-clears, please. Or if they do audit each other, they'll knock off auditing the pre-clears. Something will go wrong with the process. So one of the first goals of this book, its creation, was breaking up the cases of the auditors themselves and resolving those cases. There isn't any reason in the world why you, as an auditor, can't tear through this book and get yourself really up on top of the thing, particularly if you use this new section here on Life Continuum. I'm going to turn that on mimeographs, and we'll send them out to you so that you'll have a set of questions on Life Continuum. But I'm going to show you that set in just a couple of moments so that you won't lose out on it, because you'll be wanting to use that on pre-clears, and I'll show you how you set it up on a mimeo sheet or something of the sort. Now, this can also be handed over to somebody, to read to somebody, as I just mentioned. You could really do a nice trick with this book. You get a lot of people into class as auditor's aides. You could actually advertise for auditor's aides to help polio victims amongst children. And get them to come in, give them 2 or 3 little evening classes, and say, this is how you do it. And you call for Papa if you strike a bad snag. And you have located already quite a few polio cases, something like that. Kids, in other words. And you want these people to go to a hospital or go to a home and see that a child understands and performs the various functions of this book. And they just sit there and they read the book and they keep track of the case and they're there all the time and so on. See how that'd be done? They get in trouble, they call you. They don't try to get adventurous about the situation. They don't have the security of knowing there's somebody behind them who theoretically knows. Okay. Now, the uses are probably many more than that. Now, one of you was talking about an armed services project. As a matter of fact, this armed services project, I checked up on it. We got to make another call right there, because what happened was, again, a shortage of auditor talent. Terrific indoctrination evidently had to be done. So I said, now, when the book comes out, why, we'll get the book supervised through and nobody will be arguing about it. It was one of the reasons why this book had to be done this way. Another thing about this book, if you're going into a specialized type of case, and you're going to have lots of these cases, we'll print up this book so it says it resolves that case. Give it a new cover. Give it a new introduction. And we'll stress bingo-itis. Or whatever you've decided to treat as as a broad function. Or industrially, for the armed forces, I can give you a copy of this book that says its name is Survival Under Fire. Each and every time is still Dianetics, and so forth, but then you as an auditor can say, well, it's specially adapted to your case. This solves the panacea problem. People don't want to believe that they are that simple, that they can be cured up by one thing. They want to be known as difficult individuals. All those are the various usages. You can think up a lot more. But in particular, these usages will give you considerable fund of data concerning the use of this book. And where you find people are skidding, or they get upset by it, or it needs further resolution, and in particular when you have to answer the same question over and over and over, for heaven's sakes, write me a letter about it, huh? Well, I write me for a change. Now, I'll keep a summation of these things so that this book can do a natural evolution. Consistently, yes. Could it be made loosely? Could it be made loosely? It'd be too expensive. It's the only thing. This book's not expensive to produce. If it were loose leaf, it might be. You want these books to throw away. You want these books to be used, written in, damaged, chewed up. And you want to pick them up when you finish the case. You want to pick them up and look them over. Might learn something from them one way or the other. And if the individual says, well, an awful lot of information is in there that I wouldn't want you to know about, you say, oh boy, how many pages did he miss? You say, well, there happens to be an Act 16, and that means go back through it again here. There's a button you need to run. It's called hide. Hide. No, this book is a destructible item. It's built to be that way. It's also built to stay in your hands on a channel and come back to you and be destroyed. Now, there's only one reason this book costs you any money, because I'm not a millionaire. That's right. That's right. I have a hard time these days trying to tie myself down from top static with enough mist. So, maybe a charge on this book. But that's all the charge that you will have on this line of operation. Now, you keep handing this out. You hand this book out, you make sure you know who it's handed to. What was wrong with the person when you handed it to him, and what his name and address was. And when you hand it out as though it's a professional action. Don't say, well, here now, Bill, I think there's something here that could do you a little bit of good. You might look into it. You want to be audited? Here. Name, address, telephone number. Yes, we fix up a card, so forth. Here you are. In other words, don't go around this way. Go that way. You get the idea. Because this book is auditing. This is auditing. It's not something that tells him about Dianetics. You want something that tells him about Dianetics, or self-analysis, and also the foundation over there can produce tons of small descriptive leaflets. I begin to wonder sometimes if anybody gets very busy in this business on some kind of an idea line. I got a cockeyed idea the other day. And I walked 2 blocks, each in 2 towns, just telling everybody I met who was obviously in horrible condition, and those 2 towns were Wichita and Phoenix, So you can realize. I walk down the blocks, and I says to people, didn't matter whether it was an old lady in a wheelchair, young girl on crutches, blind man carrying a cup, didn't matter what, I said, say, have you been down to the foundation? He says, what are you talking about? Well, no. I just wanted to know. You know, they can probably do something for you. Something for what? Well, your condition, you don't look like you're in too good shape. Well, I'm not. Yeah, indeed. And they say, where'd you say? Down the foundation. I didn't give them any card to remember any address. And I suppose after they got there, they just fell over the switchboard, and that was the end of it. But the point was, I was trying to find if these people were alert and interested. And a lot of them were practically climbed over the top of me. That's very interesting. Because you could open an office, and you could go down the street and just hand out a little card, and it says Dianetics description of it on the back of it, and it gives your name and address on the thing, and you just say to the person, how do you feel today? The guy's very startled. In his wheelchair or something, it's hard. I don't feel too good. Well, maybe we can do something about it. A lot of cases like yours get handled all right and so on. If you want to take a crack at it, okay, come down and see me at this address. Don't make any point of it. The guy's got the address. There's maybe health sitting in that. Well, he doesn't know it on the surface. He thinks he wants to be healthy. And when you tackle his case, you'll find him it's a life continuum and he doesn't want to give it up. But that's something you resolve afterwards. You get this person coming in, and now you don't have to spend 7.5 hours doing something or other for him. You give him a book. You say, well, go on home, and you read it, and what's your name, phone number, and so on. I'll just keep check on your case. You do. You keep check on that case as you go through. And he says, well, it's going to cost me, so on. Well, you can always tell him, nothing, but if it helps you, if you think it helps you, you can make a contribution. Very funny thing, but an individual will usually contribute very heavily if he thinks he's going to help somebody else. He won't contribute because he's been helped so much. So you can come around after you know he darn well that he's better, and you can just simply ask him if he would like to pay for the processing of Mary Agnes Snide, who lives down the block from him. Happens to cost $150 to process Mary Agnes. If he'd like, thinks he was helped by it or something of the sort, let him pay for Mary Agnes's work. I mean, you can actually go into action like this. Because one of the tough jobs out in the field is finding pre-clears. It is. A lot of people sit around, no pre-clears show up. They even sweep off the front porch. If they don't put out any sign, that's not ethical. But, well, it's not ethical. Don't you know what ethics are? Here you are, auditors, and don't know what ethics are. Ethics are whether or not you advertise for doing nothing. Or not advertise for doing nothing. Well, that's medical association ethics. The only fault that has ever been found with me in Dianetics concerning Dianetic ethics was the fact that somebody occasionally advertises in Dianetics, and you can't have that sort of thing going on because those doctor's shops would just be wide open with the wind and dust blowing through them. You start advertising, so don't do it. Not ethical. Okay. There's just one little method. There are lots of variations on that. We'll talk about those tomorrow. I want to give you right now the life continuum setup. The first part of it is you ask an individual, who's dead? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. Who's dead? There's blank spaces sitting in front of him, so he has to fill in something. He has to fill in something there in those blank spaces. After he gets through filling in all these things, and he says, well, there aren't any more. Or anymore. Your next column is. One, two, three, four. All of a sudden, when you tell him by this, its underline is animals or pets, younger children, babies, anything like this. You get the idea? And you're getting to fill out what's dead. Now you've got him set up with two columns here. Which time you want him to describe this? Goals of and the conditions of one, of column one, of who's dead. But you have this number one now. Number one is followed here by the big one, and you just take it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Over here, number one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In other words, make him completely delineate number one of who's dead. On the goals of number one and the conditions of number one, you can have a third one, fears of number one. That gives you three columns for one with 10 entries for each column. Now, you make up the same thing for two. Same thing for three, the same thing for four, the same thing for five, the same thing for six, the same thing for seven, same thing for eight. Well, you're sure going to get tired of bodies, voice through. Now you take what's dead. Goals of, condition of, fears of. One. 10 entries. Fears of, one. 10 entries. You get the idea. You just fill this in then for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All what's dead. Everything that's dead in his life. It's just pages, by the way. Now, I'll give you a fast review on this. You've got a column that says who's dead. And he lists as many people as he can think of in his life who are dead, whether related to him or not. Then, you make up a column for what's dead. You might say neutered, gendered. And then you make up a three column for number one of who's dead. Three columns for number two of who's dead. Three columns for number three. Three columns for number four. Then you go into what's dead. Three columns for number one. Three columns for number two. Three columns for number three. So on. Now when you've got all that done, you got your next one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, these are neuter objects, including machines. Now, you break it down the same way. Goals of, conditions of, and fears of. Now, you give them a whole sheaf on that. For number one, he's got to make out all that column. He's got to make out all the next column. He's got to write all this stuff down. That's who failed. Who failed? Now he's got to give you a list of at least 10 people that failed.
5 people? 10. 5 ones or 1 dead one.
Well, it doesn't matter. Anybody who failed, live or dead. You see, he'll interpret it this way. He will find somebody who's dead, and he'll get a life continuum on this individual at the time that this individual dies. But then after he's got this a little bit, he'll all of a sudden remember a time when this individual failed, too. And he gets another life continuum from that failure. He can get really loused up. Maybe this happened 10 years before, and the individual is entirely different before he failed than after he failed. So for 10 years after the failure, this person is keeping on the failed person. Then all of a sudden he has to keep on with the dead person. Now you go through the same routine. Same routine on who departed. What departed? By the way, he'll get all these repossessed cars.
Wives. Income tax payments. All right. Now, we'll go into this on the other side of the ledger. And the first one of this is who won? 10 people who won. Now, by golly, it'll sometimes really try a guy's imagination. But this winning category should be the second group. You should have the dead group first and then this later group second. All right, it should be who won and what won. A lot of guys will answer this stuff very interestingly because they'll start listing what won over them. Not as a life continuum or anything of the sort. They'll start listing. His name was, I think, Billy, and he beat my skull in. All right. Now, who won? Who arrived? Because every time an individual fails, he starts up in tone again when somebody else arrives, and that person will be an ally. And you can really trick up a fellow's memory. His memory will really start functioning. You're asking this question, who arrived? Well, I was going to go into that. Now, you take up those two categories. That's who departed. What departed is the old one. Its comparative level is who arrived and what arrived. Now, with these, just as with the others, goals of, conditions of, and fears of. Goals of, conditions of, and fears of. Three columns for each entry on those. Now you get how that'd be. Now you can make these out for a pre-clear, or you can simply ask there and straight wire the pre-clear on this order. You straight wire this. This is the way you'd make it up with a mimeo sheet or something. Now, you make it up on this order if you're straight wiring them. You just get these categories. Just these regular, simple categories. And you ask them in routine order. Who's dead? You're carrying a tally sheet. They'll tell you, Grandpa. Okay, you've got his goals, conditions, fears. Goals, conditions, fears of Grandpa. And you go ahead and work it out right there. Run an emotional curve. Run some regret. Run some blame. Run anything in order to discover if there's any continuum on Grandfather's death. That's what you'll do if you're auditing him personally. Now you just take number two and get that category. Number three, get the category. Then you go into it on just exhaust who's dead as a life continuum. And you just work each one of those as a life continuum till you've got emotional curve enough, you've got the blame, you've got the regret, you've got this stuff off the line on this life continuum. Just work it out right there. You find out who's dead, just go straight across the boards with it, asking his questions. Now you get number two of who's dead. You just get the deaths off of this case. And by the way, this comes up in the area of sympathy, where this book has sympathy and how you run sympathy in it. You've still got all the sympathy to run, but right in that same section will be this life continuum proposition that will be added into this book at that level. It's Act 11 or 12. 11, is it? Yes. It will be the first part of the 11th act. Now, who's dead? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now you fall into what's dead? Now you find out who failed? 1, 2, 3, 4, right straight across the boards with its conditions and all the rest of that. Because a person will do a life continuum, somebody who failed. He'll go on to succeed for him by failing like him. Well, is there anything illogical about that? What failed? So on. And then, who departed? 1, 2, 3, 4, like that, but doing your auditing, you just ask them, all right, who departed? You just get one name. You want to know more approximately when it happened? The goals of this person, the condition of that person, the fears of that person. When you say condition, you understand we mean physiological condition or mental condition. Or both. Now, who won and who arrived? And what won and what arrived are right across here, too. Who won? What won? Who arrived? And what arrived? The goals, conditions, and fears. You'll finally find out one time that an individual's automobile departed from him in some peculiar fashion or other, and you say, all right, now what was the condition of the automobile? Right away, he has to think about the automobile. Well, have pistons slap. And that's so. These individuals often go. That's how ridiculous can we get, huh? Anyhow. What are the goals of the automobile? Well, to run smoothly and go places, I guess. Sit in the garage when it's cold. The individual will go on and tell you all about this automobile. But it's an innocuous question. He really isn't doing a continuum on this automobile. What he is doing, however, he's finding out that you can be a little bit off groove. He's got an idea of what you're looking for. You're looking for something else. And, you know, it's not too bad a thing to be wrong once in a while. Don't be wrong on purpose. But don't worry about being always right. Because you get your pre-clear to agreeing with you all the time, why, then he gets into a state of trance or something, as far as you're concerned. You have to snap him out of that before he'll get up the tone scale. Anyway, you've got all these conditions of life continuum. I've given you the ways of resolving it earlier today. Actually, this is a complete process all by itself. But automobiles, they're afraid of running into things, of course. Well, no, I'm being serious. Because I ran a little guy who lost a coaster wagon. What were the goals of his coaster wagon? To carry me. And this somehow or other was all balled up in his head in a complete bewilderment about him being carried. The coaster wagon was somehow his mother, was something or other, so on. Well, what's the coaster wagon afraid of? Hitting bumps. And he get a jolt out of that. So you say, all right. Now, he'd been trying to reacquire his coaster wagon ever since. Only nothing he acquired was satisfactory, which was on four wheels, because it wasn't a coaster wagon. It's very simple. Individual, middle age. You get somebody who's dissatisfied with every possession he gets. He's trying to possess again his tricycle or something, which departed. It's fascinating. You ask him these questions, it's jolting to him that there could be something about that, about this. Because at the time he lost it, if he were a little kid, the thing was alive to him. It had a personality.
all this sort of thing. And it sort of jars it up in his mind, yes.
You include who lived and what lived, what's alive?
Oh, I suppose you could. Most everybody's dead, though, on the cases we get. You could do that. You could do that. You'd get a great deal of regret. Yes, you can add that to the case. It'd be a very good idea. Now, there you have something that's very close to a complete process. All by itself is merely this continuum process. It'll make an individual so much better off that he'll generally... Because you see what happens in each one of these cases. Something very insidious happens with these cases. You can only do so much for a case, and then it does the rest of it itself. Here's your tone scale. What you're looking for is the bump, the booster. Any one of these processes may act as a booster. Let's take life continuum. Just that. And we just work nothing on this case but life continuum. A lot of people dead on the case and so forth, and we just work nothing but that. And all of a sudden, this case starts going up the tone scale like a skyrocket. Somatics resolve. You've given enough oomph to this case, so not only did the inherent somatics that he's resolving as life continuum for people that you've never touched, they resolve too. You've just gotten his governor up to speed, that's all. So it keeps on going on up the line. Now you can take cause and effect, desire, and all the rest of this sort of thing, and process that. You can process that, not touch the other, and very often you'll find the guy taking off and going up the line before you have a chance to work life continuum on it. And you can sit there kind of limply and say, well, gee, didn't your grandfather die? And wasn't that part of the cause of it too? Kind of disappointed like. Or you can take just the button chart and do nothing but scan him into the possession of some of his buttons. And he'll take on up the line from there. Because you're dealing with some very powerful techniques. They all head toward the same goal, but these are just ways of unmooring a fellow from the bottom instead of mooring him there, as hypnotism tries to do, as other techniques try to do, Bentonism and so forth. Anyhow, you moor him to the bottom of the tone scale, and you can, by the way, moor a preclear there. You can really fix him. You can just fix him up just fine. You can authoritarianly process a preclear out of his arthritis by driving him from 1.5 down to 1.1. When somebody, other auditor, comes along and starts to pick him up the tone scale again, he'll go through a stage of having arthritis. Seen it happen. Down the tone scale from arthritis, arthritis clears up. Up the tone scale, and all of a sudden he gets into the strata where this life continuum that gives him arthritis is, and all of a sudden the arthritis turns back on, he gets some deposits back, and so forth. It's not as serious as it was the first time, because he's found out that it could go away, and he made it possible already. It went away. Regardless, you can just take straight postulate processing. Nothing but postulate processing. Process all an individual's conclusions. So, you'll get there with the case. The postulates that you pick up, which he later on has disobeyed because the environment insists on changing. No postulate can be laid down that will be good for the rest of time. Except all things come to pass, including this. Now, these postulates then can be picked up. You can pick enough postulates up off of the case so he'll start the line up too. Sometimes you find this very difficult. To pick up postulates, because the case is so wound up in effort or something of the sort. Now you can take effort processing all by itself and run nothing but one complete experience. Run it out to its last possible dregs. Run it out till you get the effort of the cells to stay next to the cells and the effort of the liver to keep on livering. and the effort of the teeth to communicate with the liver. And in other words, all the effort and all the postulates and all the emotion off one major experience in a case. If you take the whole thing, and that was even vaguely tied in with a service facsimile, your case is going to come on up the tone scale at a heck of a run. That's why we say a few hours of processing. But I do not believe there is an auditor here at this moment who has 100% exhaust, except maybe one guy, who has maybe exhausted every single speck of effort, emotion, and postulate out of one engram. Because, boy, that's a job, effort processing. You get running guy back down the time track, and you get to this earlier incidents, earlier incident, earlier incident, just clipping them as you go down, bingity-bing, trying to find a good early incident, and you find one that's really can be processed. You'll find it generally on a conclusion line. If you're looking for the conclusions of why this guy doesn't consider that he's important anymore, some such thing, all these numerous conclusions you can reach this on. Or the conclusion that he has to obey. Where does he pick it up? And you start running back down the line, down the line, down the line, down the line, getting the effort within the effort to obey, within the effort to obey, within the effort to obey, and there he is standing there with getting run through the stomach in the war of, well, Peloponnesian or something. He can't help himself. He'll be right there. If you were then to take that engram, any one of these engrams, doesn't have to be a past death or anything like that. But if you've taken any one of these engrams and you were to exhaust it 100%, just sit down and knock it to pieces. Every way that you could possibly knock an engram to pieces. The individual's recovery level up the tone scale is something fabulous. You get results by not exhausting all the efforts out of these things. You don't ask for all the efforts out of them. I know you don't. Because there are very strange efforts that you can ask for in any one engram. There is the effort, for instance, of the tail of the spine to communicate with the brain. In that incident, all of a sudden, brand new flashes of pain and everything turn on in the thing. Wham! You think, well, that's all gone now and so on, and then we get over onto some other efforts. All efforts are non-survival. Every effort is non-survival in its ultimate. Because the first is a state of beingness, theoretically, and then a counter-effort. Well, then that counter-effort becomes the effort. And then a counter-effort becomes the effort. And a counter-effort becomes the effort. So each one in turn was first non-survival and then survival. So all the way up the line, you have the non-survival effort and the survival effort. You have both of these efforts. You have the effort to see and the effort not to see. The effort to hear and the effort not to hear. You can hit either side of these. Or you can hit the effort, meaning the individual's effort against a counter-effort, or you can hit the counter-effort. You can understand the yes and no on the side of the effort or the other. Now, you start processing, effort processing. You just start to ask for the effort this way and the effort that way. Effort processing does not need much delineation from me here. There's quite a little bit lying around on it already. Fascinating stuff. When I fired the gun on that thing, it really exploded. Boy, there's seen some weird things happen in effort processing. So the individual's efforts and counter-efforts, exhausted out of an engram 100%, went into the other good, long, solid, hard, painful engram, brings about a recovery in tone, which just one of them, which is fabulous. You can look it over. You have to get the thoughts, which are the postulates on that engram line. They come up about halfway through. Then sometimes you have to turn around and get the efforts to have those thoughts, because the thoughts themselves won't release. And the action effort is so strong on this earlier postulate that the individual is actually, you have to process out the effort to have this effort in this engram. So you go back from the engram to here and
and process out that effort. Then you come back up here and go on processing the embryo. Process from one end to the other, complete, 100%. You ought to do it sometimes just for practice. There's the effort for one side of the back to communicate with the other side of the back, and there's the effort for the lenses not to touch the eyeballs, and there's the effort of the hair not to stand up, and the effort of the hair to stand up, and there's the fellow's effort to breathe and his effort not to breathe, and the effort to keep the heart beating, but the desire not to keep the heart beating, and the effort not to keep the heart beating. And in a death, it's the effort to die and the effort not to die, and the effort to hold the motion and the effort not to hold the motion, and the effort of the cells not to collapse and the effort of the cells not to blow up, and the effort... lots of effort. But you'll know what efforts to ask for, because all you have to do is ask the file clerk and he'll tell you. You want to do a job of effort processing, just as a technique, it has remarkable results. But you understand also that you can go on effort processing an individual forever until he disappears. Fortunately, it would take forever to make him disappear. Okay.